It's like me coming to Tarawera, you know, ancestral mountain, and saying, I'm gonna dance you. I'm gonna dance the eruption of Tarawera. You know, I just frustrate myself so much just trying to let this human body come in proximity to something so huge and so powerful.
Welcome to How to Play in Slow Time, interviews on creativity, where artists pull back the curtain on their creative practices and share how they listen, play, embody, imagine, model, and collaborate towards discovering something new. In this episode, dancer, choreographer, and director Victoria Hunt delves into the creativity of movement and mental imaging. They tell us about connecting to spiritual beings through their work, which emerges in a codependent and intertwined way with the body's movements, and which are tied to Maori energies of Māori, life force, and whakapapa, genealogy.
I'm Victoria Hunt. I was born on Yugambeh and Kombumeri country up in Surface Paradise in the Gold Coast. I'm living on Bidjigal country here in Maroubra, and my ancestral affiliations are with Te Arawa, Ngāti Kuhungunu, and Rongowhakaata Māori. That's on my father's side, and Irish, English, Finnish on my mother's side. Ho kāinga is a Māori word that comes to mind. Ho is the breath. Kāinga is home. And so it's Ho Kāinga speaks to the home calling breath, the breath that takes you home back to what sustains you. So I guess in that way, there's an ancestral home, which involves going back to particular whenua, which is land. Whenua also is another word for the placenta in a woman's body that holds the baby. So the same word for placenta is the same word for land. And as a Māori person, we also have an awa or a river or some body of water and a mountain. So my ancestral mountain is Tarawera, which is a volcano, an active volcano. It erupted most recently in 1886. Which had some pretty devastating consequences. And Tarawera is our awa as well. If I think of that concept of home as a Māori person, then I think about other concepts that bind me back to home. And one of those concepts is whakapapa. The rough translation is genealogy and ancestry, but it goes beyond what we might think of as human ancestry, because whakapapa acknowledges the Māori or the animus seed and life force that is in absolutely everything. So therefore everything has a whakapapa, or a type of layering of genealogy. We're here on Aboriginal country, and it's the holder of these ancient creation stories and custodial presences and creator beings. And so I think when I think about growing up and the access points that I had, you know, it was definitely through being on country and having these beautiful, powerful visits with animals and with the seasons and with the plants and with the weather, learning so much from being saturated and immersed and listening to those seasons and cycles. A lot of time playing outside, a lot of time learning different skills with interacting with animals. And so I didn't have any formal dance training, which I'm quite relieved by, but very physical. So lots of climbing trees, lots of swimming, lots of running, lots of throwing things, lots of catching things. So very, very active and physical in terms of learning coordination, getting strong, fast, having to think quick and act fast and quick, either alone or with others. I came through the visual arts, and then I kind of really came through photography as well, where I became super fascinated with studying fractions of seconds and the principles of light and timing, and also through the chemical process of developing film and making prints back when it was analog. So I spent many, many, I'd say years actually, in a dark room and thinking about how a mechanical device like a camera could capture and translate, in a process that I found very magical and alchemical, light fractions of a second through different film planes, whether it was black and white or colour or E6 slide. And then because I was involved in every step of the process, I could cross-process different things and then take it into the dark room and also manipulate in that world as well to create an image. I say that because I think that's very important in how I've grown into becoming a performance maker, where those principles of light and studying time so minutely has continued to be a fascination. In being able to imagine something, it brings the possibility closer. But if you can't imagine something, then it's really questionable of how you are able to connect with the thing. And I think there's lots of different disciplines that speak to that. But I think the body weather practice, which in a little nutshell looks at the body as a constantly changing environment within an environment that's constantly changing. So like the weather, there's these states of change. And it makes me think about if we think of ourselves in such a human way, then we're going to, in some sense, limit ourselves to the humanness. And there's lots of different other ways to think about, you know, who we are as humans, but also as more interconnected than we might think to our interconnectivity, to everything, going back to that idea of whakapapa again, and the Māori or the animacy of everything, is one way to hone a kind of practice that can help us to transform or attempt to go beyond with our imaginations. You know, there's the concrete materiality of our body. Yes, we are. Yes, I am a human. And then there's the realm of the imagination and the conscious and the subconscious and the dream space and the kind of visioning and all sorts of other things that as artists I think we have access to, if that's part of the practice that I'm certainly engaged in. You know, there's lots of different approaches to being an artist, but that's definitely what makes me feel inspired. I think images are particularly interesting, like in the workshop that we did, I think we were looking at some of the transformative states between the quality of a smoke coming into the feet and rising up through the bones, and what kinds of quality of smoke, you know, is up to each individual person. But there are definite aspects of smoke which can be explored. And then, you know, introducing another image like mist, which is similar, but it's also different. There's another kind of symbiosis within water and heat and air. The space is there to, oh, what is the different quality of smoke, and how does smoke move from smoke into mist, and then how does mist then change into rain, which has a very different quality again, which is much more of a sort of a downpour. We're sort of really dancing with these incredible beings, you know. And I feel if, as a human, if I'm too human in how I approach these animate beings, there's the danger that it becomes more like a self-expression of the thing, a human expression of the mist or the smoke. And there's nothing wrong with that at all. But just for me, my aspiration is to be able to be porous and to sort of become closer to these elements or these beings or these qualities. I always do think that there is a moment of communion with elements and with beings and qualities of things. It's almost like asking for permission and being prepared to wait a while and do the preparation. It's like me coming to Tarawera, you know, ancestral mountain, and saying, I'm gonna dance you. I'm gonna dance the eruption of Tarawera. You know, I just frustrate myself so much just trying to let this human body come in proximity to something so huge and so powerful. Perhaps the approach to that is to come around the mountain, you know, and maybe it starts with the lichen, you know, or in just understanding what would it be, what's my head like if I have lichen from the mountain, just if my head is just lichen, and how does the cells, how's the skin of my body, of my face, able to feel changed if that lichen becomes connected to the pores of my skin, you know, and then I might have to generate other things like moonlight or sunlight for that lichen to start to tremble and start to grow. And if that image can resonate and sort of take root there, then I might start to smell the dampness of the decaying soil underneath that lichen, and then feel it starting to expand and the little filaments start to reach towards the moonlight. And maybe there's, you know, different sounds that can be heard as well, and then the whole thing starts to take off and starts to grow. Everything has a Māori, everything has whakapapa, everything has Māori. So then the image work becomes a mapping that has multiple layers, you know, and then these visits, you know, they're regarded as sacred entities, you know, and they're a gift. And so if the imagination is able to imagine, there's something about a communion that's wanting and able to happen between myself and the mist or that lichen or the reflection in the obsidian pool. Well, this is the big question, really. You know, what is dance? You know, where is the dance coming from? You know, is that physical concreteness of the body where the dance exists, or is there something else that's dancing? It's been told of me by Charles Cornejo, who's a very dear mentor. It's like, if I can't see your country in your dance, or if I'm not able to see your grandmother in your dance, then what is the dance that you're doing? I think that's the beauty of dance, is that you can access something so vulnerable and kind of energetic. There's an aliveness in this form, and it is really ephemeral, and there are often inescapable revelations. You know, this can be difficult to hide anything in live performance work. It can be so incredibly exposing, whether you like it or not. That's a question for each person to understand. What does exposure mean? Yeah, and where does one place themselves in relationship to power?
This episode is part of a series of interviews with extraordinary people talking about their creative practice. You can find the rest of the series wherever you get your podcasts. You can also purchase our book titled How to Play in Slow Time, which unpacks the theory, practice, and teaching approaches to creativity from Brill Publishers at brill.com. How to Play in Slow Time was created and produced by Charlotte Farrell, Alexandra Telamo, Brioni Trezise, and Maria White. Edited and scored with original music by Tom Hogan. Special thanks goes out to the Technical Resource Centre and the Creative Practice Lab at UNSW Sydney, where our podcast was recorded. UNSW Sydney exists on the lands and waters that have been cared for since time immemorial by the Bidjigal people of the Eora Nation, whose sovereignty has never ceded. I'm Alex Telmo, and we hope you'll join us on the next episode of How to Play in Slow Time, interviews on creativity.